the bar, biblical and reforming.
For those of us who claim Christ, our authority is the scripture. For those who don't claim Christ or who claim another, I'd like for them to, we challenge them to explain a standard of truth apart from scripture. Explain the nature of good and evil apart from the scripture. You have no context, there's no justification for it, except for the whims of men. And so, man, we stand upon the foundation of the scripture, sola scriptura, scripture alone, man.
Doctrine. Yeah, sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura.
Scripture alone. That means scripture alone. What's your eternal situation for the age of creation? For he laid the foundation, was a plan for expiation. Christ became propitiation, meaning he switched his places on the cross for our disgraces. In the crowd, he saw our faces.
Welcome, everybody. It's your boy, Dwayne. We live in the bar, excited like I am every week. I say that every week because every week I'm excited. This week, I'm blessed to have a brother of the faith with me. Very few people may know the man behind the business, but I was so excited when he was willing to come on the podcast, the bar, with us. Today, we have Mr. Scott Anderson. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Glad to finally have a little bit of rain here in Georgia. And so yeah. I'm blessed.
Amen, brother. Yeah, we had some rain in Greenville area today. Definitely need it, man. Well, for those that don't know you, Scott, and what you do, let's kind of give them a broad overview, because I know you got your hands in a lot of stuff. This is a broad overview of who you are, you know, family, whatever, and what you're involved in as far as ministry and business goes.
Sure. Well, I am I'm a pastor at Remembrance Community Church, and my wife, Ashley, we've been married for 15 years now and getting ready to celebrate 16 in June. And awesome. We have two children, Amelia, who's 10-year-old daughter, and Cole, our 8-year-old son. And so Amelia is our artsy daughter and athletic daughter, and Cole is all-out boy. He's 90 to nothing. So if he's not running full speed, he's sick.
And, gotcha.
We planted Remembrance Community Church. We're in our fifth year now, and we planted down in rural Georgia. In a little town called Madison, Georgia, and felt the Lord leading us out here years ago when we went through the whole church planting process. Mm-hmm. It seemed like everybody was planting in the city, and mm-hmm. I just felt a call to try to bring a reformed, gospel-centered, theologically sound Bible-teaching church to the rural area. And that's, mm-hmm. and the Lord led us here. And so we got here, and life was different in the rural community as a suburb of Atlanta. And so one thing led to another, and the Lord just blessed us to, with 1689 Beard. It was never meant to be a business, and it just ended up one.
Wow. That's amazing. So you said it never, I guess, started out to be a business. What was your original intent for 1689 Beard?
Well, being a pastor, you live on a dime, and so I'm
right. Say,
maybe I'm cheap, I don't know. But I started growing a beard out, and it was itching, and it was wild, and I couldn't control it. And I thought, there's got to be something out there, some shampoo or conditioner or something for beards. And I got to looking mm-hmm. around, and I couldn't really find anything under, you know, $25, $30, $40. And so I thought, I've got some math experience. I'm a teacher, and I have some science experience. So I'm going to just sit down and figure out something. And I started mm-hmm. researching different organic ingredients, and so I made myself some beard balm, and then I had some friends who had beards, and they wanted to try it. And so they tried it, liked it, encouraged me to start selling on Etsy. And so we started selling on Etsy, and next thing you know, we we started having some recurring buyers, and then thanks to Joe Thorne, he tried our product and liked it and did a little mm-hmm. interview on it. And next thing you know, we're selling out a product by the end of the week, and so we had to start rethinking things.
Wow, that's amazing, man. Me being a fellow beard brother myself, I definitely understand the care that goes into goes into a beard, man. And that was one of the things, you know, that I've always knew about 1689 just because of Joe, but I didn't know the man behind it until later, man. And so I'm tickled to death to have you on, man. So let's talk about, you know, on the theological side, or, you know, the church planning side, the rural area, what would you say would be, some of your, challenges as far as bringing a reform to, I mean, you know, cause I'm in this area too, to the Southeast, bringing that perspective to a not only Southeast, but also a rural, Southeast. What you would consider to be a challenge and some of the things you face planting that church in that area?
Well, the biggest thing probably would be the misconception of what Calvinism mm-hmm. is, and Reformed theology.
Mm-hmm.
When we first moved out here, just like every small town, there's the big church in town. Mm-hmm. And so we had heard the story of a former Sunday school teacher who they were asked to sign a document that said that they wouldn't drink alcohol and they wouldn't teach from a Calvinist perspective.
Mm.
And so when I got here, we had a young man who had come to the Reform, to believe in the Reformed faith, and started coming to our church, who was really involved in ministry around here. And when some of the influential people in town found out he was going to a Reformed church,
mm-hmm.
they dropped his support and encouraged others around to do the same, which really put an eye on us. But I'm also a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved out here, we planted with 7 families from scratch, and I knew that I would not be able to you know, be able to be funded as a full-time pastor. So
right.
My bachelor's degree is in early childhood education, and so I got a job in the school here, which has really been a blessing, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that, I would have parents that would come by and start up conversations. Then one finally asked, so I hear you're Calvinist, and and I've learned in a small town to ask, well, what do you mean Calvinist?
Right.
Because even though we are Calvinists and we're Reformed Baptists, I don't know what everyone thinks that means. But
exactly.
Everybody's got an idea of what that means. And so the biggest thing is just dealing with what people believe. They said, do you believe you can do whatever you want and you're still going to heaven? And that's Calvinism. I said, well, no, that's not exactly what we believe. And so we get to have that conversation.
Right.
So that's
wow.
the biggest issue we face up front. But
mm-hmm.
but then as we get to know people, and we'll start building friendships, and people will tell us, you know, I believe what you believe. My church, that they'll say there some of the bigger churches here, and then I use that term loosely, big.
Right.
If you've got 200 people in a church in Madison, Georgia, you're doing really good.
Right.
But they'll say that their church doesn't even believe that the Bible is inerrant, and but they don't want to be the kids who's left the church that their parents, their grandparents, and their great grandparents went to. So that's a real issue too.
Right.
Generational church members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely see that on the firsthand, man. Because you know, I don't know if you know, I originally was, you know, Baptist in North Carolina, and then I was charismatic Pentecostal, you know, kind of chasing the rabbit's foot. But I noticed, in my transition, how people will stay to a place, like you said, just because grandma and granddaddy and everybody was there, they're not willing to, you know, leave that, I guess, that comfort zone, man. So that definitely, I definitely can see that. And the whole issue. And it's funny you was talking about, you know, when people say, are you a Calvinist? Me and my co-host, Terrence Barlow, we always make the joke, you know, we don't let certain people call us Calvinists, you know, like you call it with a bad understanding of, you know, we were like, yeah, nah, you can't say that, you know, you can't use that. You don't know what it is, you know? So I think that's hilarious, man. So, as far as the church go, you know, What are some of the aspects of the church, I guess, are coming in the forefront? I know we mentioned about church plants and your involvement with that. So let's talk a little bit about the church plants and other, I guess, venues that you are embarking on.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So I really, God has given me a heart or a concern and even a love for the fellowship of church planters, because when we came out here, I already had in mind how everything was going to go. That within 5 years we would have a certain amount of people, and we would we'd have our building, and we would I'd have a great story to tell at church planting conferences like you go to, and we got out here and nothing happened the way I planned. Madison is a beautiful town. It's known as the town too beautiful for Sherman to burn. When Sherman was doing his march to the sea,
gotcha. I was like, what? Wait a minute. But then, okay, I'm with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so he didn't burn Madison, and there's speculation as to why. I tend to think that he was in a hurry to get to Milledgeville, because that's where the capital of Georgia was. And then he went on to Savannah, and Madison was just too small to deal with. But they say it was too pretty for him to burn. Property taxes and things like that was just, it's outrageous out here. So we have a building. And I don't know what the listeners think is expensive, but the property, just to rent a building, just to lease a building, a small building, was several thousand dollars, and so our eyes were open real quick. And again, nobody wants to help out a Reformed Baptist, independent Baptist church. We had looked at the idea of joining the Southern Baptist, and we met with some of the local people, and they're what I call Reformed tolerant. We've got some really they tolerate my Reformed beliefs, and they're not ugly to us. They were open and welcoming, but as we prayed about it, there just didn't seem to be a need for another Southern Baptist church here when there's nine in this little city, this little town.
Right.
But so we kind of just started off on our own and made some good friendships going through Acts 29, the whole church planner. I forgot what to call it now, but where they kind of prepared us for 18 months and, We ended up not going to Acts 29 either, but met some good guys and then went up to T4G this last year and got to spend some time with some guys who had bought our products and were church planters and were struggling just like we were.
Right.
And so when God started blessing 1689 Beard, this isn't a primary income thing for us. So when I say us, the other part of 1689 Beard is Chris Harris, who is a deacon at Remembrance Community Church.
Gotcha.
And being a pastor and a teacher full-time, both full-time, when 1689 started really growing, I knew that I would not be able to do this. I wouldn't be able to oversee it and take care of all the business aspect of it. And I never really wanted to be a businessman. I didn't have that gift set. Matter of fact, when we went through Acts 29, one of the reasons that they didn't see us as church planting material, we kind of there's like four categories to plant with Acts 29. The first one is that they don't have any concerns. The second one is they have concerns, but go ahead. The third one is they've got some major concerns, and we need to wait a year. And then the fourth one is, no, we don't think you should plant a church or be a church pastor. And I fell into that third category, which was really disheartening at the time.
Right.
And I had to battle with the sin, just of the flesh and of a rejection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And but the big thing was I had no entrepreneurial experience or drive or anything like that.
Right.
And that's true. I didn't have any. I'd grown up in a small town, joined the Marines, and got out of the Marine Corps, went to college, then went to seminary, and that was about it, you know. And everything was real simple. But anyway, I didn't have any entrepreneur experience, didn't have any business experience. So I met with Chris, and we prayed and talked business, and I gave him 45% of the company. Because I wanted someone I could trust, and I wanted them to have ownership of it, so that they, really enjoyed it. And so Chris Harris is the other half, almost of our company. Yeah. So when some funds started rolling in, and we started understanding taxes and government a little more, we said, "Let's pray about God using us." Church planters. And we sat down and thought through that, and I wrote out some things. But so the way that we do that is, one is we will give church planters something that we look at and say, these are plants that we really want to be involved with. So we try to give church planters our products, whether it's beard balm or coffee or sweatshirts and hats and beanies and things like that. And then there's another aspect of it to where we've got 5 years experience of planning a church that really by every means should have already shut the doors and we're still going. So we're providing free counseling or coaching services to church planter as well. So we try to spend an hour a month on the phone just asking and helping guys think through what's going on with them. They're looking at planning, or they're planning and they're struggling.
Right.
We pray for them and spend time, answering emails and things like that. And then thirdly, we finance church planters a little bit. We don't make a huge amount of money yet. So that's the three ways we help church planters. And then we try to help other churches by offering our coffee. It's funny, churches drink a lot of coffee, so
they do, they really do.
Yeah, we offer it to them for wholesale for half price, and whatever proceeds we get, half of that go to the church planters. That's kind of a long answer to your question, but
That's awesome, man. And that is I'm glad that you're putting that out there, because the one thing that I've just recently started, I guess, noticing or looking into is church plants and the whole idea, of it. And I think, that support from you guys goes a long way. I know they're, the people that you're helping really appreciate that, because, sometimes you need that person to talk to, or you need that counsel, or you need, money, those funds, man. That is so awesome, man. So I heard you mention coffee a couple of times, and everybody, like you said, church folks love coffee. So is this coffee thing fairly new? Have you been doing it a while? What's up with the coffee and 1689 Beard?
Yeah, so I didn't even think about making that transition in the conversation.
I'm smooth like that, man. Don't worry.
Yeah, man. I've actually enjoyed drinking coffee for about 25 years. I can remember my very first cup. I was in the Marines, and we were doing cold weather training for Bosnia, and it was about negative 25 degrees when I had my first cup of coffee, and I've been hooked ever since. So I really like coffee, and I like really good coffee. And I'd say probably about a year and a half ago, we use coffee oil, or that's the way we say it in Georgia, oil, but I think other places call it oil.
Right.
We use that in our beer bomb and our beard oil. And so I was thinking, why don't we partner with a coffee company? And so we tried several different coffee companies, and they there was very little response on that end. And so I said, you know what? I think I can do this. I can research how to roast coffee and some different things, and we'll just make our own little bit of coffee. And so we did, and it tasted good. And I thought, well, let's see what we can do from here with the coffee. And so I started buying green coffee, and the guy I started buying green coffee from, and green coffee basically is your unroasted coffee. It kind of looks like a peanut.
Okay.
And so the guy I was buying coffee from, green coffee, he got to where he started looking at 1689 Beard's website, and then he started looking at Remembrance Community Church's website, and he came back and he said, "Hey man, I'm out in Seattle, and I've been roasting coffee for 20 years, and the market's saturated out here, and I'd love to give you our blend," which is totally unheard of. And so he sent me six blends that were really, really good. And so the coffee I was making was pretty good. But the blends he had was amazing. And then he was started selling me the beans at a discount price. And then when we went from buying 20 pounds of beans to 150 pounds of beans, he got me in touch with his coffee broker. And so now we buy our beans straight from fair market coffee farms.
That's
and,
awesome.
All over the world. And we just in the last 2 weeks went from, we were roasting on just a little bitty roaster. And my wife and I would sit out in the garage and roast coffee all day long. And we were only putting out about a pound and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really meet demands. And so we bought a larger roaster, and it's not large according to most, but we can kick out 15 pounds in an hour now. And it's a really smooth industrial size piece of equipment we got. So, yeah.
Wow, man, that is so cool, man. I like coffee too. I'm not a connoisseur, I guess, but I definitely like the taste of a good coffee, man. And, I love the fact that every time, you know, you get like a closed door that you don't stop. You say, hey, maybe I could do it. That, you know, that's inspiring to me that, you know, even with the beard bomb and the coffee, whenever, you know, people don't necessarily respond, you don't let that deter you from, you know, what you're trying to do, man. That really speaks a lot. Go ahead.
Just on that note, my wife and I, we joke because we say we're really good at selling. And so we really have failed at a lot of things. And what we realize, God has not called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. And I grew up in a little redneck town, and we were – my family was kind of the misfits of the bunch. And I say, you know, if you talk about stars, if there's stars that you'd run around with, I'd probably run around with Kid Rock and Daryl from The Walking Dead and Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. That would be my group of guys that I hung out with.
I like all three of them, man.
Yeah, man. Those are great guys. But my dad left when I was about 2 years old, and mm-hmm. and then my mom remarried my stepfather, and then he was my senior year in high school. He was arrested for international drug trafficking, and so the just being in a small town, he got 10 years without parole, and being in a small town, doors just shut. My friends weren't allowed to hang out with me, and my girlfriend wasn't allowed to see me, and the government ended up taking our house. And so I joined the Marines, and that was during the Persian Gulf War, and saw a lot of things. I became an atheist. I wasn't a Christian to begin with. Became an atheist. Have dog tags that say non-Christian because I thought Christians were hypocrites and didn't want to be involved with them. Mm-hmm. After my stint in the Marine Corps, I was supposed to go down to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, to disarm landmines, and I thought I didn't want to do that. And so went to college, and that was a first because no one in my family had ever gone to college, and no male had ever graduated from high school in my family. Mm-hmm. And so went to college and became a Christian through a ministry called Campus Outreach. When I became a Christian, I knew right away I wanted to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. And so graduated from West Georgia and ended up at RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And went on staff with a church plant. And the church plant folded. No, I'm sorry. The church plant did not fold. It's still a good Presbyterian church. We were Presbyterian until we went to Presbyterian Seminary and was studying Colossians 2:11, and became a Reformed Baptist. And,
oh wow!
Which is a funny story. But I say all that to say I was a youth pastor there, and it just didn't work out there because of it was a hard time economically for church plants. It was a church plant as well. And then came down here and to Conyers, Georgia, and tried some different Bible studies, and they never seemed to work. It was always like, you know, a best friend and his family that would show up for Bible studies. and I don't know if you've experienced that, but so it would be my in-laws and our best friend.
Right.
So we started joking around about saying we're really good at failing, and we didn't see it anymore as our identity. And my wife and I try to constantly remind each other that our identity is in Christ and not in any success or failure or anything. Right. And so it just gave room to fail big. And so we planted the church, and we started 1689, and we started the Beard Bomb and then the coffee. And we've got some other ideas. The plan, if you don't mind me rambling for a minute.
Oh, yeah, please. Actually, that's what I want to hear. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we've kind of got two visions. Our mission is to make a good product and sell it at a fair price. And we kind of got that from some Luther legend that a cobbler became a Christian and said, "Brother Luther, what should I do now that I'm a Christian? Should I leave the shoe business and become a monk?" He says, "No, make a good shoe and share it and sell it at a fair price." And so that's what we want to do with, and I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds
good. Oh, it does. Let's go with it. Yeah. Roll with it.
Yeah. So we started dreaming. The idea is locally, I want to someday have a roastery coffee shop that employs critically students of high risk. Teach them everything from ironing clothes to to soft skills such as you know, just manners that a lot of us take for granted. Because I was considered a high need student. I graduated with a general diploma, and the only reason I graduated high school is I had a couple of teachers who went to bat for me and said, "You just show up and we'll get you that diploma." And so I want to really kind of see the gospel expand through that, through social and economical differences. Madison's a very segregated town still. We have a big graveyard that on one side of the railroad tracks, the whites are being buried, and on the other side, the blacks are being buried. So it's still very racially divided down here, and I want to see the gospel transform that. The only place that the gospel that we have racial unity is the school, the public school. The churches are segregated, not purposely. You know, I don't think it's a purposeful segregation. It used to be because there was the First Baptist Church that gave the African American church here money to build their own church so that they would leave.
Right.
The Presbyterian Church still has, you know, they've got the loft up top that you can go and see to where African Americans sit up there and the whites sit down below. And that's still a real issue in our community. And so I want to see the gospel transform the community where everybody, the church sees that their identity is solely in Christ alone. So part of our vision is to have a coffee shop roastery that is a place that you can look back and say, healing finally began in Morgan County in Madison, and we can trace it back to this church and this coffee roastery. That's part of the local vision.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what's the, I guess, the international vision? It sounds like he's about to go to that level.
Yeah, so the international vision really is to just continue to look at church planners and how can we've got a church planner, Ryan and Nicole Pitrick. I think I said that correctly. They've planted a church down in Peru, and they were there for 5 years up in the mountains. About 9,000 feet elevation up in the mountains, had started a church out there and just left. They had about 70 members, which is a big church in that area, and leaving there to go down to Chile and plant a church in a city down there, about 150,000 people, and so it's exciting to see in some small way that we can help really advance the gospel. And like I said, in very small ways, and maybe someday in much larger ways, but we want to see that. We want to see the gospel expand and to know that 1689 Beard was a part of that.
Wow, man, that is awesome. That is so awesome. I love both ideas, man. I love the coffee shop and the at-risk kids. Here in South Carolina, I used to work for, actually a special needs school. The whole county, all the special needs kids went to one school, and they had a wing just for the at-risk, you know, behavioral kids, man. And something like that would definitely be beneficial, you know, learning those skills. And like you said, just the practical stuff, man, that is awesome. If there's any way that the bar can help make that happen, man, we're all aboard, man. I definitely excited about that. And then the couple in Peru, you know, that's, you're doing some exciting stuff, man. I'm excited for 1689 Beard. Let's talk about we talked about the church plant and we talked about the coffee. Nice little transition and some vision casting. What, I guess, as far as the company 1689, what are some of the things on horizon, let's say maybe product? I noticed, you know, on Instagram, you posted some hoodies and some things of that nature. What are some products that may be coming out of from you guys?
Yeah, well, Well, let me just say, we do most of the stuff here. All the pictures are either free apps or $2 or $3 apps that we've got on our iPad, and so we do a lot of that here. The Beard Balm and the the Beard Balm, we started making that in my garage, and then it got a little bigger, and so we split it off. I taught Chris how to make Beard Balm, Chris Harrison. He owns a sign company called 44 Signs, and so that really helped us out. He came up with the label on the can, which we have so many conversations with people about the name 1689 Beard, and then with our banner with Spurgeon and Calvin on the can and Soledad Gloria. All the marketing experts, Christian marketing experts, actually told us to take Soledad Gloria off the can because they thought it would hinder.
What?
Yeah, and these were Christian businessmen. They told us to take that off. They told us that to take Calvin and Spurgeon off because that always left a bad taste in people's mouth. And what we realized is everybody except the non-believers and the believers who were not anti-Calvinists love the idea when we tell them who Spurgeon and Calvin are. And so that's always been interesting. But so Chris came up with the label, and so he started doing the Beard Balm down at his shop and in his home, and I was doing the beard oil. Then we got into soaps and then into coffee. And once we got into coffee, Chris started making all the beard products. So he does that at his house. And I think his wife, Katie, and the kids are all helping him out. And then we kind of set up a front at 44 Signs making things. And so I'm concentrating on all the apparel, the coffee, and all the social media marketing. Because we were 100% online company. All of our sales were online, and now we're still about at a 97% online company. And so social media marketing is very important to me.
Right.
And that's another area that we try to help small businesses, especially businesses that have a same kind of vein as we do, with a Christ-centered gospel reform perspective. We try to help them out, give them some ideas and some things that keeps them from doing some of the things we did wrong and some things we did right. But so to answer your question, I started doing some apparel here. There's some great guys who are in apparel already. And so that's not our goal, is not to take over apparel. You got Missional Wear and you got Righteous Wretch. Those guys are killing it and doing a great job. But we wanted to be able to make some things. And so we got a couple of new designs that have come out. And basically in the near future, we kind of got four routes that we're going with apparel, shirts and hats and beanies and things. We've got what we refer to already as our Spurgeon line of apparel, and that's what we started with black t-shirts, black hoodies, black hats, our classic 1689 original looking stuff. And that's really our main direction, but we've started what I would call a coastal line, just some things that are not, just black shirts, black hats, and they have more of a coastal vibe. If you being in North Carolina, you can probably understand that the Columbia, Costa Del Mar type style.
Oh yeah. I'm with you now.
Yeah. So, Madison is known as Lake Country, and so there's a lot of that on the water apparel that we're getting into now. And hunting is big in the South. So we have had dozens of requests for camouflage. So this week we're actually going to come out with some camouflage, some camo.
Really?
We'll have a, we'll have a camo hoodie and a camo t-shirt with the 1689 shield and cross in orange. So this will be the first time anybody's heard about that because we hadn't, we haven't shared that outside of our little area, but you'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the bar is the
exclusive.
That's right. So we'll have the camo stuff coming out, here, in the next week. And, that's probably the newest thing that, that we'll see.
Wow. I'm a big fan of camo, man. I mean, you know, I'm in the South as well. So, yes, I'm excited about that. That definitely has to be added to my repertoire. I love, t-shirts. Like you said, man, there's a lot of guys doing it, doing a good job. Shout out to Mission Aware. They're actually one of our sponsors. Go check them out and, type in BAR, get your discount, all that. So that's my plug for right there. But anyway, yeah, man, that is very, exciting. And I'm with you, man. As far as apparel goes, there's a lot, but there's definitely room for 1689 Beard, man, because you guys have a style of your own and you have a look of your own. And I know I was checking out some of the black hoodies and stuff like that. That's really good. That's really exciting. So you guys heard it here first, man. 1689 Beard coming out with the camo. Those that know me personally know that I am a camo man. Which pattern are you guys using? You know,
I am more of a fan of the old school camo, but I was encouraged to start with Realtree.
Yes.
Design. And I guess that's the big thing right now. So we're going to go with a Realtree pattern, and see where that goes. And it's what I do like about it is it's got the greens and the browns in it. You know, it's,
right.
And man, everybody around here wears camo. The girls wear camo. They've got camo and pink. And so, who knows? Well. But it was one of a guy up in Michigan who first mentioned it to us. He's like, you've got to get this stuff in camo. So,
Wow. Shout out to the guy in Michigan.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Realtree is my brand. I tell people, you know, Realtree is like Nike to me, you know, that's all I wear. But anyway, man,
yeah.
I have really enjoyed talking with you, Scott, man. I guess anything you want to say to my audience, as we get ready to sign off, any last words or anything? We're going to do this, and then I got some fun questions to ask you in a minute. But anything you want to say, anything you want to promote, plug, or whatever, you can do it right here.
Yeah, a couple of things I'd say. One, I would just encourage anybody who's looking at church planning, feels the call to seek counsel from godly men, godly organizations, and then at the end of the day, if God lays it on your heart and it doesn't go against Scripture, I would really pursue that. And we're here to help encourage anybody that needs help. I'm not a professional. I don't even know what you call it, but a designer. That's just something I picked up. I've got, like I said, I've got a degree from in early childhood education, and then I got a master's from Troy University in education technology, and then went to RTS, and then got my doctorate in worldviews. So none of that really, none of that has to do with church planning and 1689 Beard Balm and things like that, but the Lord
right.
just kind of leads you in those unusual paths. So I'm a big believer in resources. I'm a big believer in people you know. You and I would probably not be having this conversation right now if it wasn't for Joe Thorne.
Right, right.
I think we went from selling $40 a month in Beard Balm in January to March selling a couple of thousand dollars after we talked to Joe Thorne. And so ask big, dream big, and be willing to fail. And remember, your identity is always in Jesus and what he did on the cross rather than anything else. Have fun with it.
Amen.
And that's what I would say. And again, we're here. We want to be used, advance the gospel in as crazy ways as Beard Balm. There's a guy up in Nashville who about a year and a half ago started buying our Beard Balm to give it to other guys in a cigar lounge because the name 1689 Beard struck up so much conversation, which led to the gospel.
Wow.
And it always does if you, any conversation can, but this one's an open, you know, people are going to say, what is 1689 Beard? Well, 1689 is the year that England gave, wrote the Religious Tolerance Act, and all these hillbilly and street Baptists came out and wrote the 1689 Confession of Faith. And so then what in the world is a Confession of Faith? And so we're a 1689 Confession Church. And
right.
God uses even Beard Balm to advance his kingdom.
Amen. Amen, brother. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's definitely encouraging. Like I said, to me on a personal level, and you know, just going about building this podcast from the ground up, and then some things that, you know, God has laid on my heart that I will be talking with you off air, man, because really, really inspired me on that. And then shout out to Joe Thorne, man, awesome dude, awesome guy. He's helped push this podcast. Like you say, he helped with your business, man. This guy gave me ideas, designed my new logo. I mean, just big shout out to Joe and Jimmy over at Doctrine and Devotion. Make sure you subscribe to their podcast as well. All right, sir. I guess my fun question that I like to ask, because you mentioned Kid Rock earlier. What is the type of music? What's on your playlist? What you got going? Are you like Joe? You know, Joe is a big metalhead. So are you in that same category, or what do you like to listen to?
You know, I'm not like Joe in that category. what's funny about that is Joe and I, we had been talking a lot on the phone, on email, on text, and we went out to Myrtle Beach for a couple of weeks, and Joe was there at Myrtle Beach, and so we got together a couple of times at the smoke shop. Well, you know, some things don't change, and so when you're around Joe Thorne, he's going to smoke cigars. Well, I have nothing against smoking cigars. I'm just not really good at it, and I've never really done it. But I didn't want Joe to know that, you know, and so we got together at a cigar shop, and I smoked me a couple of cigars, and I felt like Pinocchio, honestly. But man, I'm so jacked up. I need the gospel bad every day. I got to remember.
Right.
But I listen to everything. I'm telling you, I'm a mutt, honestly.
Gotcha.
I grew up listening to anything from Lynyrd Skynyrd to Tupac. My first concert was Kiss. And then my second concert was Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah. And
you're touching all the ends, man. You're touching all the vast perspectives, man. You hitting them all.
Yeah. I I probably my favorite concert was Metallica or Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I love music that tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
We do a little thing here called a growler in the garage, and so we'll go get up to Athens. We're just a little ways from Athens. We'll go up to a growler store up there and get a growler of good beer.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll listen to good music and we'll tell good stories and be with good friends. So that's what we do when the nights get cold and we just hang out in the garage, which is the original man cave.
Oh yeah.
And right now I've been listening to a whole lot of Johnny Cash. And he can tell a story.
Oh, you better believe it. The legend. I like Johnny Cash.
Yeah. And a lot of people probably might hate me for saying, but I enjoy listening to Eminem because he tells a good story.
He does. He's very what's the word? He paints a really good picture with his words. He does.
Yeah.
I agree. Ain't nobody gonna get mad at you on this podcast, man. We free here.
that's why I loved Tupac, amazing storyteller.
Oh yeah.
Johnny Cash, amazing storyteller, and so that's the type of music I listen to. If it's going to tell, there's a great CD out there right now that it's a tribute to Johnny Cash and some songs he did on just the Native American, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but it's got all of these guys singing Johnny Cash's songs. So that's a great CD. I'm listening to a throwback of a guy named Steve Earle who's got a song called Copperhead Road, and that's my childhood. He talks about how his granddaddy burned steel up on Copperhead Road, and he came back from Vietnam, started growing plants up on Copperhead Road, and that sounds like my childhood. So I love the story there.
Wow. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. It's good to be diverse, and I definitely agree with you about a good story. I definitely love music that says something, you know, takes you somewhere. Good deal, man. So, brother, I really, really appreciate you taking time out your busy schedule to sit down at the bar with me, man, and answer my emails and not being aggravated for me, you know, constantly asking when we can hook up. I really appreciate that, man. And if there's nothing else you want to say, man, we're gonna end this show. But before we go, make sure I'm gonna get all of your links to everything: the church, the beard bomb. I mean, 1689 beard, the apparel, everything you got going on. We're gonna put all of the links in the show details, so you guys can have access to it. Go check it out. And make some purchases, man. This is a brother doing something not for himself, man, but trying to advance the kingdom, trying to do the Great Commission as these churches get planted. They're supporting them. So make sure we support him as well. And make sure you support this podcast. Give us a honest 5-star review anywhere you hear this. Share it with friends. Like it. Share it, inbox people, tell them about the bar right here where we're biblical and reformed. And we're out of here. God bless you. You hear that? That's those sleigh bells. It's Christmas time, people. We're on our way to a new Christmas season. And we here at the bar want to make sure you take full advantage of a awesome opportunity. If you go to missionaware.com and type in the code BAR, you will get a discount on your swag. And when I tell you, they have something for everybody, from your grandparents all the way down to that coworker that you rarely even speak to. You can give the gift of theology. Yeah, that's right. They have some t-shirts with some theologians on them, some good sayings, good conversation starters. They also have mugs and pads and journals. I mean, just so many things. So go right now to missionaware.com and make sure you type in the code BAR for the bar to get a discount and also to support our podcast. And because, you know, time's running out. Before you know that, St. Nick and all them boys will be coming through ringing them sleigh bells. Y'all have a good one. Peace.